much for the invitation, Nigel and Andrew, to come and share with you today. It's a privilege to come here. We love Western Australia, and we love Perth. Carolyn and myself often say that if we had to live here or wanted to live here, we'd happily come. We'd gladly come. We love Western Australia. We love this area, and it's just a joy to be here. Can I get a photo of us three together? Would that be cool? Who does Instagram and Facebooking and all that? So yeah, as soon as I finished here, I want to post something. So Charlie, you might come and get a little shot of us here. No, you know, or someone else who's technologically savvy. It's an iPhone. Fantastic. Thank you. Just pop onto my seat down there. That'll be good. That's great. Fantastic. Thank you so much. So it is a pleasure and a privilege to be here. I come from the north coast of New South Wales, a little town called Ballina, which is just south of Byron Bay. And we grew up in that area, my wife and myself. We've got some photos to show you of where we've come from and some of the things that we actually do. And I'm not sure what order they're in this morning, so we'll just take them as they actually come up. And so that's flying into Ballina from Sydney. So that's the sort of area. We live right on the coast, and we have a beautiful cane, sugar cane we grow there, and dairy cattle and other various things. The next one is coming up. That's where I grew up. There's two islands there, and I grew up on the river not far from one of those two islands. And my wife grew up down the coast a little bit further. So a lovely place to grow up, like Huckleberry Finn it was, out exploring on the river and fishing and Rollamon. Great. I go fishing down there, so that was a couple of years ago. Andrew McLennan and I went out in my little boat behind there, so that's a black marlin we caught. We brought it home, we killed it, we slit its throat, we bled it, we gutted it, we sliced the flesh off its body, and we ate it. So it was good stuff. Yeah, no. This was just a couple of weeks ago. We had a great run. That's two of my daughters, my youngest 15-year-old Carly and Michelle, who's 23, and we had a good run of yellowfin tuna and broadbar or narrowbar Spanish mackerel, which is great. Good stuff. Next, that's Carolyn. That's the biggest one she's ever caught, which is a good fish. That must have been around 30 pounds or so, so it was great. Next, just a couple of weeks ago again, more fish. Next, that's my family, Carolyn. It's our 34th wedding anniversary today, so it's really nice. Phoned her up this morning and said, happy anniversary, dear. So that's good, and that's our family. That's our band. I play in a band, a secular band. I always was a musician as a teenager, and then church world always got in the road of my music. And beginning of last year, I began to start playing keys again, so we formed a band. And we've got, they're all mostly non-Christian, so it's good fun, and we play in pubs till 2 o'clock most Saturday nights. We're out there playing, so it makes church a bit challenging some Sunday mornings. This is our building. We've been going in our church 10 years ago, and just a couple of months ago, Pastor Phil Pringle came and helped us celebrate our 10th anniversary. So this was some photos from there. So next, that's our stage, and just a shot looking from the back of the auditorium. We've got an old factory that we turned into a church. It's Pastor Phil on our stage doing stuff. I think there's one more photo. Just a shot looking back there at our auditorium. And so it's good. Thanks, guys. That's good. So, been going 10 years in Ballina, and it's not been easy. I thought a couple of years ago, if I'd known then what I know now, would I have actually done it? Would we have started the church? And sometimes I think the answer is no. It's just the stuff that you come across there. You know, Nigel and Andrea are great leaders, and great leaders will take you places where you don't want to go. Is that right? They will. They'll take you places where you don't want to go. But when you get there, you'll thank them for taking you there. You'll thank them for the journey. And it's that journey part that's the difficulty, the challenge, isn't it? Actually getting along there. I believe you're in the middle of a series on discipleship. And so Nigel mentioned that I might like to share with you on discipleship. And so I thought, well, discipleship, that's a bit of a, you know, that's not a light, fluffy topic, is it? It's not one that we go away feeling happy and cheerful and joyful about. It's not like faith. It's not like about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not me-centered in that sense. Discipleship is all about God shaping our lives and changing us. It's all about our lives being shaped by God. God wants to shape our lives. Is that true? God wants to shape your life. Say that after me this morning. God wants to shape my life. Do you believe that this morning? He does. He wants to shape your life. He doesn't want to see you stay the same as you are today forever. And he sees all sorts of things in your life that are below where he wants you to be. He sees things that he wants to adjust. He sees things that he wants to change. When Carolyn and I, we grew up on the north coast of New South Wales, went to Ballina High School. Then we transferred up to Toowoomba to do our university studies. And Carolyn enrolled in fine arts, and I enrolled in education with a fine arts major. And her great passion and love was pottery or ceramics. And before we became pastors, our desire was always to return to Ballina and become studio potters, to actually make pottery for a living. You can't hardly buy pottery nowadays. It's really gone out of fashion. No one. Some of the galleries have some ceramics in it, but mostly it's totally out of fashion. But it was our desire. And so we spent 3 or 4 years just studying ceramics. And this whole idea of taking this lump of clay, putting it on a wheel, and applying pressure to it and shaping that lump of clay into a beautiful pot, into a beautiful piece of ceramic art that could be used. And that's one of the pictures that God uses for us in terms of discipleship. He takes us, this lump of clay, which is our life, he applies pressure in our world so that we become shaped into a vessel so that he can actually use that. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. It's one of my key thoughts this morning. It says here, God knew what he was doing. Who knew? When did he know it from? Some of us wonder, God, what are you doing? Surely you've lost my address. Surely you didn't actually, why is this happening to me, oh God? I served you, I gave my heart, my life to you, and now I find myself in a pressured situation, in a difficult situation. But here it was, it says that God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. Isn't that comforting this morning? God knew. If you take away one thing this morning, just write down, God knows. God knows. You're not alone. He decided from the outset to what? To shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son, the Message translation. See, God's desire for you is to shape your life along the lines of his son. And this was his decision right when he called you, right back at the very beginning, to actually do that. So don't be surprised when stuff. When Jesus called the 12 apostles to follow him and be trained by him, they weren't called apostles to start with, weren't they? What were they called? They were called the 12 disciples. They were called disciples because in those days, a group of people would attach themselves to a mentoring master, and that mentoring master would then live his life with them. And he would take every opportunity to shape the life of his disciples. You know, it was only in the church of Antioch that they changed from being called disciples to be called Christians or Christ followers. And that's what Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, wants to do with you and with me. He wants to make us disciples of Jesus Christ, followers. Jesus wants to get intimately involved in your world and mine, shaping your world by allowing pressure to come onto it so that your life becomes the life like Jesus Christ that he saw from the very beginning. Jesus wants to shape your attitudes. Everyone say attitudes. Jesus wants to shape your attitudes. He wants to shape your values. Everyone say values. He wants to shape your character. Everyone say character. He wants to get intimately involved in this because some of you have attitudes and values and there's parts of your character that he's not happy with. That some of you, your husbands or your wife aren't happy either with your character or your attitudes and your values. And you've quietly prayed. You've said, God, get him. Or God, get her. Or God, help this person to see what I can see. And many of us, as I think Nigel was pointing out last week, many of us can see stuff in other people's lives. And we see that stuff and we say, God, that guy's got a stinking attitude. Or what's this value that's different to the values that we should have? Or there's a character deformity in that person's life and God wants to change that. See, non-Christians think it's all about rules and regulations. Sometimes people won't come into a church like this because they think someone like me is going to stand at the front and say, thou shalt not do this. And all of you that are doing this, you are very naughty, bad people and you're going to go to hell. That's what they think it's about. But that's not Christianity. Christianity is Jesus Christ coming into our world, lifting the burden of sin off our life and then beginning to shape us into the people that he desires for us to be. Or on the other hand, so many of us think that God's goal for us is to live a comfortable life. that he's put me on this planet to enjoy life. And God has put us here to enjoy life. I love enjoying life. I love C3 Church because they give me permission as a Christian not to have to live religiously, but to live to enjoy life. And I love it that God's placed us in a world where there's surfing and where there's big creatures that live in the ocean that we can kill and eat. And where you can wear nice clothes and you don't have to be dowdy to be a Christian. And God made a world where there's color and creativity and varieties of things and all this stuff. And God made us that way. But sometimes we think that we are here just to enjoy that particular stuff. And I've got some news for us this morning, if we pop this thing up here, because God will always sacrifice our comfort in order to build our character. Who's excited about that this morning? Thank you. As disciples of Jesus Christ, how many disciples of Jesus Christ? As followers of Jesus Christ, he will always, this is terrible, isn't it? We don't want to hear this. God will always sacrifice our comfort in order to build our character. My encouragement is be building your character, be working with God to build your character and your values and your attitudes so he doesn't have to sacrifice your comfort. But God sometimes will sacrifice our character. And your character, see, one day you'll die. Each one of us will die. And we'll end up where? In heaven. Who? With Jesus. And the only thing you get to take to heaven with you is your character. You get to take your character with you. And so God doesn't want to have to live with your stinking character through the whole of eternity. So he's going to sort some of you out first before he gets up there. It's called discipleship. You're loving it, aren't you? Thank you for the invitation to come. See, so much of the Bible centers around the issue of character and God building character into our world. Let's pop up the next scriptures. This is your homework for this week. I want you to go and look at and read these scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 12. Here's Jesus talking in this little section of scripture that's called the Beatitudes. And Jesus there begins to unpack what the attitudes are of Christ followers. Read them through sometime. In 1 Corinthians 13, the Apostle Paul talks about the qualities of love that each of us should be demonstrating in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our homes, and in our workplaces. We're supposed to love one another. And so Paul lists what love is, and he lists what love isn't. And we need to be looking at those two lists and working out how we can better fulfill them. In Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, Paul the Apostle talks about the fruit of the Spirit. What are the fruit of the Spirit? It's really the character qualities that should be marking us as Christians. And then Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 to 8, he talks about the character qualities that should be demonstrated in our lives as well. And these are the qualities here that I believe we should be demonstrating as disciples of Jesus Christ. And these are the qualities which Jesus will be working at building into your world and into your life. God is actually so committed to these qualities getting into your life that he will allow all sorts of stuff to happen so that you can actually get it, so that your character can grow. Rick Warren says this. If we pop up this quote from Rick Warren, he says this. Every time you forget that character is one of God's purposes for your life, you'll become frustrated with your circumstances. You'll wonder, why is this happening to me? Why am I having such a difficult time? Wow, that spoke to me. I'm always saying, God, why is this happening? You know, what's going on here? And Rick here says, every time you forget that character is uttermost and of great importance, God, every time you forget that, we'll find ourselves being frustrated and so upset with our circumstances. Just stop for a moment and think of the frustrations and difficulties in your life right now. Is there anyone here that's got frustrations? Do any of you have difficulties, or are you all doing okay? You know, I've got major frustrations. I've got a list, you know, that I pray over, and I wish would shift and wish would change. But we've all got these difficulties and frustrations, and we think about what is making you unhappy, and think about the people you struggle with in your life. Or perhaps you've looked at others and thought it's not fair. Why isn't Sally Smith facing this? And why isn't Joe Bloggs facing that? Why me? Why are you picking on me, God? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Or perhaps you've blamed other people. I find when I get in a difficult situation, I'm always looking for someone else to blame. Is there anyone else here like that? Yeah, you know, they get upset. People in that church, something happens in their world, they blame me. They blame the pastor. It's your fault. I'm thinking, well, it's not my flippin' fault. You leave me alone. Always looking for someone to blame. And that's human nature sometimes. You say to yourself, well, if the pastor treated me differently, then my circumstances would be different. Well, why don't you address your character stuff on the inside, address your character and your attitudes and values, and then your circumstances might actually change. See, God is wanting to shape your life for eternity because you'll spend eternity with him. So this morning, what should our response to our challenging circumstances be? What should our response be? How do we turn them into character growth and discipleship opportunities this morning? Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 22 to 24. And let's just see what Paul, as he wrote to the Ephesians, had to say about these issues. And he said here, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, three things I want to draw out of this morning. He said, firstly, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, number two, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. And number three, put on your new nature, created to be like God. Three things I want to unpack just briefly for us this morning. The first one, it says here, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. It doesn't say put it in the cupboard and come back and look at it every now and then to make sure it's okay. It doesn't say keep it under the bed or keep it close in case you need it at some point to bring security or confidence into your world. It says throw it off. The Greek literal translation there is with violence, throw it away, hurl it away is a more accurate translation. Hurl off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Because a true disciple has dealt with the issue of sin and dealt with the past. Inside of each of us, there is a sinful nature that will try and creep up and get us. Paul the Apostle said, once he said, I keep doing the things that I don't want to do. In other words, there was something within him that kept on trying to drive him towards doing the stuff that he knew was actually wrong. When we lived in Toowoomba, and we'd been married for a few years and had a couple of kids, we had a dog. And we had a great dog. I've given up on having dogs because when they die, it's so upsetting. And I get attached. And has anyone, yeah. So the kids have been pestering, Dad, can we get a dog? And I'm saying, no more dogs for me. I've had so many dogs over my life that every time I, you know, you see Lassie on the TV or something and you begin to choke up because it reminds you of that dog. Know what I'm saying? How many people have got dogs here? Inside dogs? How many inside dogs? How many outside dogs? Okay, good. We grew up on a farm, and our dogs were always outside dogs because they were working animals as well. They would stay outside. But this particular dog, his name was Max, and he was allowed into our laundry but not allowed into the rest of the house. And I trained him to stop at the edge of the laundry, and he wasn't allowed to come any further. If he came any further, I would speak to him very severely and he would slink back with his tail between his legs back out to the thing. And if he was really bad, he would be put outside and wouldn't be allowed to come in at all. But he would be in the laundry there and the kids would come home from school. And Max wanted to, he'd be there with the kids and he wants to play with them and that. So you see this little head stick around the corner and, you know, play with me, play. And Michelle, who was our third daughter, and not naughty, but she would like to stretch the boundaries a little bit. She'd have a little bit of food in the hand. She'd go, come on, Max, come over. Come on. And so he'd creep in along the floor there. And he'd end up at her feet. And he'd be wagging his tail and shaking all over, so excitement with the kids. And he would be there. And if I saw him, he'd be going straight outside. To me, that's a picture of sin, what sin's like in our life. Sin wants to creep into our world. Sin sticks its head around the corner sometimes. And when you see sin stick its head around the corner of your life, you've got to rebuke it. You've got to put it back where it should be. You don't give it attention. Because if you give it attention, and if you focus on it, before you know, long you know, that sin's going to be sitting at your feet, saying, here I am, you know, give me some time, give me some attention. And that thing, you've got to put sin off. You've got to throw it off. You've got to get rid of that old nature that's there. And it starts with small compromises, small little things that you begin to do, you begin to say yes to, and you find that sin, that old sinful nature has crept back into you. We need to throw it off by making clear choices and clear decisions. And see, there it talks about your former way of life as well. Some of us had a former way of life that was really clear. And Paul here says, don't go back to it. Throw it off. A true disciple does not go back to the former way. Sometimes we go back to some of the old stuff. If you are and you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you that God can set you free from some of the stuff that is in your world, some of the ways of life that cause us to struggle as people. Secondly, a true disciple has a renewed mind. The second part of that verse that section of verse that we read there. It says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. A true disciple has a renewed mind. A true disciple allows God to build his or her character and attitudes and values by renewing your mind. Our verse is Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says this, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. That word transformed, and many of you who have been Christians will have heard teaching on this before, that word transformed can be more accurately translated from the Greek metamorphosis. It's actually the word that's used when a caterpillar, after it's eaten its way through your garden, spins itself a little cocoon, and it pops into the cocoon, and 6 weeks later or a month later, it actually emerges from that cocoon as a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. There's been a process of metamorphosis. And this is what the Bible says here. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be metamorphosized, whatever the word is there. Be transformed. Let an internal process take place that others can't actually see, where your mind is changed from a grubby little caterpillar's mind into a beautiful butterfly's mind. God wants to transform your thinking and transform. I think 90% of our battle is often in our mind. 90% of the things we battle with in terms of walking with Jesus and understanding his character work in our life is the struggle we face in our minds. If we can change your thinking, you will change your life. And we don't change our thinking by going to Harold Robbins seminars, or who are the other guys that have the positive thinking. We don't change our thinking by that. We change our thinking by immersing our mind into the Word of Christ, into the Bible, into the New Testament particularly. We allow the mind of Christ, the Bible, to become our mind. We spend time reading the New Testament. I hope that each one of us spend time every day, at some point of the day, reading something of the Bible. The Bible is fresh. The Bible is alive. The Bible is new for us. It's amazing. You can read the newspaper, and the newspaper can tell you what happened yesterday. But you can read the Bible, and it can tell you what's going to happen today before it's actually happened. God can prepare you. God can give you a word. God can quicken things. God can set you up. Like that song says that we sang before. I can't remember the exact words, but it says, I spend time with you every morning preparing for my day. And as we spend time reading the Bible, God wants to speak to us. I'm a great believer in journaling. How many people here journal every day? Journaling's really, really simple. I just read my Bible through. And I have a colored pencil, and I scribble in my Bibles all the time because they're not holy. The words they contain are holy in that sense, but I scribble in my Bible. So I'll be reading it through, and I'll just come across an interesting verse. So I'll underline that interesting verse. Then I'll write that verse out in my journal, just a book like this that I have. I'll write that out. And then I'll think, well, what could God be saying to me out of those interesting words? And I'll write down maybe a paragraph or two about what I think God might be saying out of that. And then under that, I'll write out a brief prayer saying, God, help me to build this into my world. And I'm amazed as you consistently do that, sometimes a pattern begins to come. Sometimes God's thoughts begin, and God doesn't, I find that God doesn't speak to me in a big, loud voice. God doesn't shout to me. I don't know about you guys, but I've never had this experience of God actually coming and, speaking this loud, audible voice. Jeffrey, I want you to stop doing that. That doesn't happen to me, no? I want you to go and plant a church in Ballina. That didn't happen. For me, it was this still, small voice of God whispering in my heart, of God gently speaking. I loved our worship time before and those two songs that we sang. I didn't want to hop up here. I just wanted to continue in God's presence. I just wanted to have that soft, gentle time when God speaks and when God just... You know, there's times in our part which that connection's made. For me, it's a little bit like a radio. When the old-fashioned radios, we have digital radios now. You press the button and it automatically tunes in. But I remember in the days, the old days, where radios weren't like that. And you had to tune the radio dial in. And you'd be there, you're getting lots of static and lots of noise. And you could just hear underneath there, you could just hear the beginning of the station. And you'd have to listen carefully and with this whistling and stuff. And then you finally tune. And then it would come through loud and clear. But if you went too far, you go across the dial and then you'd lose it again. So you'd have to come back and you'd tune it into it. And sometimes for me, hearing the voice of God is like that. Sometimes we come into a meeting like this and I look around and I'm finding God's presence there. And I see people staring around going, no, interesting. And you've got to tune your spirit in. You've got you got to focus. You've got to say, Lord, you've got to spend some time and actually connect with. I find praying for people sometimes. I'll lay my hands upon them and you'll be praying and it's like there's nothing, but you just keep praying and after a while that person begins to focus and suddenly, bang, there's that little connection. You know they've tuned in to the Holy Spirit. You know something's happening in their world. Sometimes I'll be praying and, you know, often I'll pray for half an hour. And I've just, you go through the motions of praying and, you know, I always have a bit of paper with me when I'm praying because inevitably as I'm praying, I'll think of a bill that I haven't paid or someone I haven't followed up or a job that's to be done. And so I'll have a list and I'll write that down on my list so that I can do it later because once it's on the list, I think, okay, I don't have to worry about it. And usually 20 minutes, half an hour into me pacing back and forwards and praying, I'll find just some words come in my heart and I'll begin to pray those words and all of a sudden I find myself, okay, I'm connecting with Jesus. I'm connecting with God. We live in an instant society where we want the Lord to speak to us instantly. Okay, good, I've got 30 seconds here. Just while the microwave's cooking, I'll just speak to me, please. Doesn't work that way. Sometimes we're in a rush to get through the church service, you know, and sometimes we just need to hang for a while, make some space and allow God to speak into our lives. Let the Holy Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. The Holy Spirit can do so. I'm a great believer. We have people in our church who do counseling. We've got some great counselors, but sometimes people who have been injured and hurt by life and injured and hurt by people, sometimes the Holy Spirit can do in one moment of connection with the power of God what would take 6 months of counseling with someone sitting down working their way through. Holy Spirit, I've got another point to go, but I just want to pray right now. Lord, I thank you. If your desire this morning is to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if that's your desire this morning, just raise one hand towards heaven. Say, Lord, I'm looking to you right now. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking to you. Holy Spirit, just come. Holy Spirit, just come. Oh, Lord, we repent, Lord, of our rush and our desire to so quickly move through life. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Lord, I pray this morning for people here. Lord, they've looked at their circumstances. There's even someone here this morning. You've said, I'm going to church today, but if God doesn't speak to me today, that's it. I'm through. There's people here this morning. You've got children. You're anxious about your children because they're not doing the things you want them to do. There's people here with health issues. You've prayed, you've been prayed for by some of the best, but your health issues have continued and you're desperate this morning. I want to say this morning, you don't have to have the best pray for you or lay hands on you. All you need to do is connect with Jesus. All you need to do is tune that little radio transmitter in right now. Father God, right now, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, renew people's thoughts. Renew their attitudes. Lord, I thank you for repentance. There's people repenting this morning. Lord, we're sinners, stuck its little head around the door. And Lord, people have given sin attention. And Lord, they've invited sin into the kitchen of their life. Lord, I thank you, there's people this morning just repenting, just saying, Jesus, I just take hold of that sin and I rebuke it this morning. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's a guy called Elijah, and Elisha in the Old Testament. God wanted to speak to him and he went up to this mountain. There was a great rushing wind and God's voice wasn't in that. And there was an earthquake and God's voice wasn't in that. And then there was this still, gentle movement of God's Spirit. God began to speak to him. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to skip over point three. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 as I finish this morning. So here's what Paul says in terms of character growth, character development. He says, here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. The Next slide, please. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. The last screen. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of intimacy, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Let's stand to our feet this morning as the musos come back. If that's your desire this morning, to allow God to form well-formed maturity in you, it requires you to agree with Him. It requires you to surrender. Everyone say surrender this morning. Desire requires you to surrender to Him. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, shape my life. Lord, mold my life. It's got to be willing for you to say, Lord, I want to be a fully committed disciple and follower of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd love to pray with you at the end of today's service. Just come and grab hold of me and say, Jeff, would you pray for me? I'd love to pray with you if you don't know Jesus Christ. And then after Nigel's finished, I'd love to pray with anyone this morning that you feel like out of this morning's message, you would just like to surrender to a greater degree. You would like to, these circumstances that you've been unhappy with, you'd like to give them into the Lord's hands and allow Him to have His way, that you recognize that God's character work in your life is higher than your desire for comfort, and you'd like to surrender to Him this morning and allow Him to touch your life, allow Him to fill your life, allow Him to do with your life what He would this morning. If that's you, I'd love to pray with you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person gathered here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the name of Jesus over each one of them. Lord, that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, that we are followers of Jesus Christ today. And as we follow you, Lord Jesus, you will take the opportunity to shape us like the potter with the clay. You will form our lives, Lord, through your